Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
It's official. The 2021 NFL season is finally over. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz taking you through for the next hour. An hour or two, we'll be joined by Mike Carver. Well, Super Bowl 56 did not disappoint. L.A. does come from behind, 20-16 in the fourth quarter, pulls that ball game out, 23-20. They were a 4.5-point closing favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. L.A. gets the win, but Cincinnati and Joe Burrow do get the cover, George. Cooper Kupp stepped up, 8 receptions, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. He takes home the NFL MVP for the Super Bowl. Everybody's All-American. Thoughts about Super Bowl 56 in L.A. last night?
Yeah, I might dispute your it didn't disappoint. I thought the game was a dud, actually. Rewatched it a little bit this morning, but it was kind of a dud there. We were on air, so maybe we didn't notice as much, but, man, there was a period there where nothing was going on. It was three and outs, three and outs, three and outs. It was, it was wow that it was, there was a blah game. Not a terrible game. I've seen much worse games, including the last time the Rams were in against the Patriots. But as far as the game itself, to me, I think I said this during the broadcast, it just seemed like more like a week 4 game. You know, like, it didn't have that, it wasn't crisp. You know, there were injuries there. Beckham really getting hurt really killed the Rams there for a while. They had trouble adjusting to that. And I definitely think Burrow was hurt at the end where he couldn't really move and step into throws and stuff like that. And hopefully we'll find out that injury isn't all that severe whenever they do announce what it is. They did say that Burrow was limping heavily as he left the stadium last night.
Yeah, as maybe, I want to say mediocre or average you thought, it's still that fourth quarter dramatics, right? Cooper Kupp steps up, Stafford, the controversial third down call in terms of the holding that allowed L.A. to have 4 more chances and inside the 5-yard line. And then Burrow does drive them across the length of the field, across midfield. They're on the 49, have a key third down and 1. Zach Taylor decides to run Samaje Perine, who got stuffed by Aaron Donald. It brings up a critical fourth down, and Donald steps up, does grasp Joe Burrow, throws the football. And I thought Perine could have dove for the football as well. I mean, the ball was not that far in terms of where he was. I know Burrow just made a last-ditch attempt. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it still came down to the final drive. If you're the NFL in terms of viewership, you had that low for maybe a quarter and a half. But at the end of the day, when the game was on the line in the final minute, everybody was tuning in to that matchup, even from the gambling perspective, George. The total was on the line, the 48.5. Should Cincinnati have tied that up, 23 apiece, or even 27-23? A lot of underbettors are losers in that type of situation last night.
And I would have been one of them. Yeah, once again, said it. I might have hit some other props if we went to overtime here, but I wanted the guaranteed money there, so I was happy that it ended. Rather than take a chance that maybe Jamar Chase gets another, catches another ball, a couple of the props I might have hit there. So, as I said, the game was, it was okay. I mean, you just put it mediocre. That sounds about right. It did have drama at the end. Most games do. It comes down to that. The two things I'll remember most from the game, you already said both, were that the penalty call, it was atrocious. You know, I guess for those who didn't listen, the refs were letting them play all game. And they would know. I thought it was a very well called game. I didn't even mind the miss on the T. Higgins one. If you're gonna let him play, fine. Then there's gonna be some penalties. You're not calling, but you're letting him play. Fine. I would always rather a game, Joe, where the refs aren't calling anything than when they call everything. Right? Because that just gets frustrating. So it's fine, and then you make that holding call, and it wasn't holding. That's the worst part. It wasn't even holding. I'm okay if it was, all right, he took him down. What are you going to do? It's holding. Yeah, but it wasn't even holding. I mean, you don't throw that flag. You don't throw that flag in week 8 when that's a Super Bowl. And, you gave them 4 more chances to score. And, yeah, they were going to score eventually. And then, of course, there were 17 more flags. Most of those flags were more in the legit phase. the Bengals were mugging Cooper Kupp. It's funny, though, right. But not on the fade. That's the one time they didn't mug him. And, of course, he caught the touchdown there. But it was just a matter of time until they were going to score anyway. And then, as you said, that last drive for the Bengals, you would have thought that the first pass was complete. Oh, here we go. We're going to get at least a field goal. Maybe get a shot at a touchdown. We're going to get at least a field goal. We know McPherson can hit it from mid-50s. And then Perine, they tried to get cute doing a fake end-around. I don't know who they had. Was it Jamar Chase doing the fake end-around? Handed it to Perine. He couldn't get it. Then on fourth down, forget Aaron Donald blew that play up pretty quickly, and Burrow throws it up for grabs. But I'm still surprised they just didn't even get a shot at a game-tying field goal.
Yeah, terrible. And that's the inexperience of maybe Zach Taylor, laying up like Tin Cup at that particular time. The safe conservative call at that juncture on a 3rd and 1 was to run the football. But you have a hot quarterback. You have Joe Burrow that has ice in his veins. He comes out, hits Jamar Chase, hits Tyler Boyd. They get positive yards on 1st and 2nd down. Keep that train cooking, baby. I mean, this is what it's all about. The title is on the line, and he blew that call, maybe potentially cost Joe Burrow an MVP candidacy in Cincinnati, a shot at the title. When we come back, we'll break down the performances, some key prop bets as well. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on The Grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz recapping Super Bowl 56. Talk about some of the big bets, prop bets that won or lost. George, you were dead on. You, at the start of the Super Bowl props a couple of weeks ago, you said there's no shot that the opening kickoff is going to be returned, right? And I disagree with you wholeheartedly, saying theatrics, the L.A. market. Then Pat McAfee came out and had the story about the ball, and everybody bought in. Joe Public, they knocked it down from +130, I believe, to right before kick, it was -102. Then after McAfee changes the whole complexity of the betting market, the NFL comes out and says they're concerned about concussions on opening kickoffs, right? And we talked about it with Carver and said, there we go. They sucked in Joe Public. There's no way the touchback is going to be returned. And then our boy Wetzel comes out. 26 of the last 28 kicks were returned. It's a sure thing. Sure enough, opening kickoff, what happens? Our guy from Cincinnati nails it right into the end zone. Touchback, loser. The market gets crushed in the opening kickoff. Thoughts? Because you were dead on it from the beginning, Georgie boy.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I gave a serious consideration to doubling down the opposite way yesterday. I'm like, because the McAfee thing, what you said about the NFL, you guys will have me convinced, oh, great, man, 26 or 28, they're returning it. This thing is going to be returned. Maybe I should bet $100 and that it's going to be returned as well. I'll make money anyway. I ended up not doing it. I'm like, screw it. I'll roll with it, see what happens here. So happy. But if I knew those numbers, and I didn't know those numbers at the time, I was just going by the fact that McPherson, or even I wouldn't have cared if it was gay either, that they were going to be jazzed. It was going to be hot there in that stadium, over 80 degrees, all the fans there, which heat generally makes the ball travel further.
Right.
It's more of a baseball thing than a football thing, but still it affects it. And he's going to boot this ball into the third row. That was my thinking there. But after hearing, if I would have heard everything first, either right. I wouldn't have bet it at all, or I would have bet that he would have returned it. I still think, when I watched that, by the way, all the returns, I think that they're coached not to, because I think especially the opening kickoff, not so much the others were about 5-6 yards deep. Most people aren't going to return those. That one I thought, that could have been returned, but yeah. He didn't even attempt to. Like, he had no thoughts of it. I think they're coached, Joe. I think that's what they're told. No, listen, odds are you're going to get either tackled before the 25, or we're going to get a penalty anyway, and then I got to start at my 10. Don't return it. I want the ball at the 25. I think they're coached to do that.
I will say this, George. On the opening kickoff, it was only about a yard or two deep. It wasn't right. like it was kicked, 108 yards, meaning it was 8 yards deep in the end zone. I mean, he could have returned that if he was standing, let's say, on the goal line. He was standing on the goal line, moved up, and then just put his arms out for the fair catch and a touchback. So, I mean, that was intriguing to see that because it was a returnable kick, and we didn't have that many returns in the ballgame. That was the first one. The other one was I did pick that Stafford would be the first quarterback sacked at plus 146. Lo and behold, the Cincinnati defense stepped up. Hendrickson got him. They started, remember, that first drive. They ran the football with Akers. They didn't get anywhere on second down. He was sacked on third down, and then they got off the field. But give me your thoughts about the early momentum for Cincinnati, because even though they fell behind 7-0 with the touchdown to OBJ, they battled back. Chase gets the big reception over the top from Ramsey. They get a field goal, and then all of a sudden we have LA jump out 13-3 with the missed extra point, which costs bettors in terms of the minus four for LA, and right? -3.5 bettors in terms of that situation. But, you know, Cincinnati's resolve in the first half, I mean, they were gutty from start to finish.
Listen, I thought overall, I mean, Cincinnati probably should have won the game. Most of the breaks went their way. You know, whether they were the breaks they made or breaks during the game, well, it went their way. They just didn't take advantage of them. I mean, everything you pointed out is true. That defensive line for Cincinnati played much better than we thought. You know, and the Rams had no running game. Nil, nada, zero, zilch. All right? I mean, there was no running game at all there. And it wasn't like Stafford was on fire. He wasn't. He made some good throws. He made some poor throws as well here. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I don't blame the defense for Cincinnati. I don't. If you would have told the Bengals, well, you're going to hold the Rams at 23 points, I think they would have taken that. I think they would have taken that. Okay, that puts us in the game here. And then, let's face it, Joe, as I was saying in the beginning of our show here, what made this game a mediocre game was there was a big path there. You know, third, fourth quarter where it was 3 and out. I think it was Scott Wetzel last night who pointed out the Bengals went 5 drives and got 60 yards.
Yeah.
All they really needed was, I mean, I know, I'm not saying it's close to the final score, but even at game script at that time where they were still up by 4 points, they were up 20-16, one touchdown, 27-16. Yeah. That game's likely over. And I don't mean overs in the total. I mean the game is, you know, Bengals win, right. Super Bowl champions. You know, the offense just didn't do anything. It just, you know, and I'm with you about Zach Taylor. And you, like I said, I know you hate him much more than I do, but I don't like the guy. I don't think he's a very good NFL coach at all. You know, I think he's going to hold this team back. I think there were some play calling issues there. I think you can make an argument that he didn't throw to Chase enough, but I also think there were 4 plays last night's game that were either 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. Cincinnati didn't convert all of them, any of them, and Joe Mixon wasn't on the field for any of them.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon averaged 4.8 yards a carry. What are you doing here?
Well, think about this, George. If I would have told you, to your point, that L.A. would have scored 23 points and Cincinnati would have won the turnover battle 2-0, you would have said, you know what? And the yards were equal? I mean, L.A. had 313 total yards. Since he had 305. If I told you that, you would have said, yeah, Cincinnati most likely wins this ballgame. They win the turnover battle. They're even in yardage. Most likely, especially with McPherson as the field goal kicker, yeah, they're going to pull this ballgame out. But the key was, to your point, about third down conversions. Now, you look at L.A., 6 of 15 on third down conversions. Cincinnati, 3 of 14. And they had the opportunity. After they jump up 17-13 with the touchdown to Higgins, and then they get the interception off Stafford. I mean, they would have loved to put a touchdown on, but okay, they get the field goal. They extend the lead. Their defense holds Stafford to a field goal when they're inside the 30. You're like, okay, we have LA right where we want them, and they cannot close the door with another score. If they would have been able to convert a critical third down, or let's say early in the fourth quarter, and tacked on maybe a potential field goal, it's a whole different ballgame. Now they're driving for potentially the game winner at the end of the day. That's the difference, George. I mean, they made the plays. They didn't turn the ball over once, and they still lost this matchup.
Yeah, I do think this is a game where if you just throw stats in front of me, you know, and you don't put a team name on either side, you look at the stats, you go, oh, this team won. That team would be the Bengals. Yeah, the turnover battle alone generally means you win. You didn't turn the ball over. You got two turnovers. That generally, I think it's over 60% of the time, that team wins the battle. You know, so, yeah, especially if you if you're plus two. It's not just plus one. You were plus two, and you still lost the game.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to tell you I remember the other two Bengal Super Bowl losses to the 49ers. I mean, I remember I watched both games, but I don't remember the details. But if I'm a Bengal fan, this haunts me. This haunts me because I really believe you were – yesterday, you were the better team. Not demonstrably better, but you were the better team, and you let this one slip away. And as we talked – once again, we talked yesterday – there's no guarantee you're going back. I think you're going to go back. I mean, you got Joe Burrow. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks. But you got Josh Allen. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Herbert. I mean, Lamar Jackson's still there. The AFC is a strong, strong conference, much stronger than the NFC.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It could be an issue there. I just feel I don't know any Bengal fans personally. I don't know if you do. I don't. But I just feel bad for them because – you know, you just don't get this chance that often. You don't get this chance, and you didn't take advantage of it when you did.
Yep, totally agree. And if you're a Dolphin fan like me, Dan Marino made it to the Super Bowl against the 49ers, never made it back. And when you look at the rushing totals in this game, just to tack on insult to injury and misery, I mean, L.A., only 1.9 yards per carry, and you still won the ball game against Cincinnati. Amazing. Cincinnati did average 5 yards per play. L.A. averaged 4.8, much through the air with Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp. When we come back, we'll also recap OBJ, Cooper Kupp's performance in the Super Bowl. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Odell Beckham was on his way to a huge performance in Super Bowl 56, broke out with the first touchdown at plus 9-1, 900 on a $100 bet. If you backed OBJ, that's where he opened. He went down to about 7-1 before the opening kickoff. He had two receptions, George, for 52 yards. Then all of a sudden, on a critical third down, he blows out his knee, ACL, non-contact injury. Doesn't go through his total of 63.5. Hurt a lot of bettors in that regard. But more importantly, his future for 2022 up in the air. Now, Super Bowl champ, he bounces back from New York and obviously Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. He was a key component to the offense's success, especially in the playoffs, coming off a 107-yard performance against San Francisco, 52 yards in the first touchdown in Super Bowl 56. And when he was out of that lineup, Van Jefferson and those wide receivers failed to step up and put the pressure on Matt Stafford. If they lose that ball game yesterday, guess what? It is due to OBJ not being a part of the offense in the second half. But give me your thoughts about his performance, not only yesterday, but moving forward in 2022, where we could potentially see OBJ should he heal from the ACL injury.
Have they announced that it's an ACL? Or are we just assuming again?
Well, we're assuming, but I mean, I did read. Hang on.
I'm checking sites now. There's no announcement of what his injury is.
I believe CBS did say it was an ACL because all the players were tweeting out this morning, okay, about how they should change from field turf to grass, and there's now a big push. But I believe I read it on CBS that it is an ACL injury. But I'll double-check that and verify it.
And I've checked RotoWire. I'm checking a couple other sites now, and there's nothing there about any updates. So I don't think it is – I don't think it's confirmed yet. I think we know it probably is, but they haven't confirmed. I hope it's not, and you really hope it's not. But the fact that he never came back after halftime, was in street clothes, leads you to know they told him right away, you're screwed, buddy. And I also don't know if it's the same knee he already wrecked already or the other side. Let's just say for argument's sake here that, yes, he tore the ACL. All right, we're talking generally he tore it on February 13th. They're going to have to wait at least 2 weeks for the surgery because they're going to wait for the swelling to go down. Yes, I do have experience in this. A lot of fun. So you're talking he'll have a surgery late February, early March. I got to assume he'll have a cadaver graft, you know, not a patella graft. because, for a couple of reasons. One, the healing time is quicker on a cadaver graft because the reason most normal people wouldn't have a cadaver graft is a better chance for infection. All right, but obviously you're a professional athlete. You'll have people watching you all the time. They can control that. That's 4 to 6 months. Generally, it's going to be closer to six. You do the math there. Now we're already at September. You're missing everything in the offseason. My question is this. Who's signing you? You know, who is going to sign? Are you going to stay with L.A. for, you know, another one-year deal? You know, a make-good deal, Joe? I could see that. You know, I could see that with a lot of incentives. But even so, you're more than likely starting the season on PUP, which means you're going to miss right. the first six games. You know, so you're going to play 11 games. Still, two-thirds of the season you're going to play. Are you going to be that player anymore? You know, he's getting close to 30 years old now. I don't know his age offhand. I'll look it up. He's going to close to 30 years old. If it's the same knee, are you even going to be the same knee you already hurt? Are you anywhere near that player anymore? Even the player you won with the Rams, which is really good. If it's your other knee, that's no better. Then you've had both knees, right? Both knees have had major surgeries on it. So there's a lot of issues here. Do I think he'll sign with somebody? Yes. But he's not one of the first guys signed anymore. Right. I mean, we have two other receivers who are also not quite in the same boat, but Chris Godwin, free agent, tore his ACL. Michael Gallup, free agent, tore his ACL. Now, they tore it earlier, though. So they might be able to be recovered before the season starts.
Right.
Still, though, I don't think any of these guys is going to have a major impact this season. That's an injury where almost everybody tells you, except for Adrian Peterson, who came back and had a magnificent season automatically. But almost everyone can tell you that, yeah, you can play your first season back, but it's really that second year back. Yeah, that second year when you've had more rehab, more time to strengthen everything, that you really feel back to normal.
Yeah, so CBS said OBJ was lost for the game due to a knee injury, and then it said a little bit later in the article today that he has to worry about his future if he sustained and suffered his second injury on the knee. Well, I mean, odds are, listen, if he was good to go, here's the thing. If it was a minor injury, George, or even a slight tear, I mean, if he could have ran, he would have been out there. Okay, now maybe it's not a torn ACL or a torn MCL for that matter, but at the end of the day, it's still significant enough for him to be tied up for, let's say, a couple months at the very least. If it is an ACL, then we're looking past the preseason, right? And even if he does recover, let's say June, July, I mean, that's still not enough time. You want to make sure if you're signing this guy that he could be productive. Is he back to 100%? Is he back to 90% where, okay, if he doesn't start the season, you know, in terms of the 53-man roster, at least I could pull him off mid-season, late September, early October. We'll see. But at the end of the day, he still proved that he is one of the most athletic, dynamic wide receivers. I mean, he comes back. Everybody talked about his performance with Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry, ineffective. He wanted out. His dad comes out and bashes Baker Mayfield. They pick him up, L.A. does, at the end of the year. And honestly, one of the most consistent wideouts with Cooper Kupp. And one of the reasons why they won that ball game a couple of weeks ago to get to the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, really fantastic. And he was getting better and better. You know, I mean, I'm sure he's getting more comfortable with Stafford on the offense and started to know it, but he was getting better and better. It certainly also helped that Cooper Kupp was getting all the attention on the planet because of how well he played. So, yeah, I mean, it's just devastating because I don't think he would have gotten a monster. He's not going to get, you know, $24 million a year or anything like that, but he would have gotten a good chunk of change. Like I said, receivers, we know how valuable they are in today's NFL. I don't think he would have remained with the Rams, mind you. Not unless they can, and I haven't checked. I guess if they could move on from Robert Woods, then maybe. By the way, Woods also ACL. Now, he did it much earlier this season. He should be fine for next season. I'm sure he'll miss all the mini camps, but he might even be fine for training camp. But it's unfortunate timing because I can't see anybody giving him more than a one-year deal. He'll have to go out next year. That's when he may have to sign a one-year make-good deal. Maybe a two-year deal where it's backloaded for the second year. You know, maybe that could possibly happen. We see that's more of a baseball thing than when you have Tommy John surgery, where, okay, we know your first year you're not going to do much. We'll sign you to, you know, $4 million this year. We'll give you $14 next year, something like that. So someone will be creative. I think he will be on a team. But like I said, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to take the chance here. Will the Rams want to take a chance on somebody? The Rams are going to be up there with cap issues. Are they going to want to take a chance on somebody who probably can't play the first six games? You don't know who's going to be that player anyway. Because of the surgery, he'll be 30 years old in November. So there's a lot going against Beckham here as far as getting a big contract was concerned. He won't get a big contract, but someone will sign him. And I'll be as curious as anybody else as to who. But like I said, he's probably the last out of the guys I just mentioned here. He's probably the last one to be signed. You know, Godwin gets signed first. Godwin's a better receiver at this point anyway, and he tore it earlier. You know, Gallup, not quite the receiver of these two guys, but good receiver in his own right, and also probably healthy for week one. So a lot going against Beckham here.
You know what? If you played Beckham and you played Cooper Kupp for their totals in the game, you're a big loser. You played the Cincinnati wide receivers. I believe they went all over their totals. T. Higgins, big night, 100 yards through his total. Tyler Boyd got there in the last drive along with Jamar Chase. So you played all three Cincinnati wide receivers. You put them in the same game parlay, you're a winner. At the end of the day, Cooper Kupp, 8 receptions, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. He does get named the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, the last receiver to do it. We talked about it last night, Julian Edelman. And I bashed Cooper Kupp a little bit, the prodigal son. But a big performance, deserved the Super Bowl MVP last night outside the interceptions for Matt Stafford. It was Cooper Kupp's to lose at that point. If L.A. was going to win, there was no way you could give it to Aaron Donald. Did have the sack on the last drive or at least the pressure. But at the end of the day, not dominant enough throughout the game that you could give it to Aaron Donald with 2 sacks and 3 hurries.
Yeah, like I said, Donald would have been interesting, but even the one sack was Burrow scrambling out of bounds. He pushed him out. Donald had certainly made an impact in the game, but I wouldn't have given him MVP. I think that he did have it right. I think Stafford probably wins it if he just throws one interception, but he threw 2, and one was pretty much an arm punt. He threw in the end zone, never had a shot. The other one I don't think was all his fault. Still not a great throw, but I do think it was Skowronek. He stopped his route, and that's really more on him than it was on Stafford. But also, Stafford had a lot of throws. You're like, okay, what are you doing here? What's going on? I thought both quarterbacks had mediocre games. Neither one was really on top of his game. Stafford did have the game-winning drive when it mattered. Burrow couldn't do it. But Kupp, who once again did disappear for a while as well, but you put him with all the catches he made, especially on the game-winning drive. They were mugging him. They wouldn't have wanted to catch that game-winning Super Bowl. He still the game-winning Super Bowl touchdown. He still did. And let's not forget that fourth and one run he had. I think that we're not even talking about all this. The game might be over. But the fourth and one end around run, that was him. He got the first down there on the 7-yard run. So, I think they got it right with Kupp.
Let me ask you this about Stafford. He doesn't throw the interception to Bates, which was a clear, bad, poor decision. The one on Skowronek at least went off his hands. If he only throws one, you think they give it to Stafford over Kupp in that type of situation where, that you can make the argument 3 touchdowns, 1 interception versus 3-2 in terms of that at the end?
I think it's really, really close, Joe. I mean, really close. You know, I do think it's that second interception that takes him out of this conversation. Do I think they give it to him? Oh, God, we're at break here. I'm going to say no. I think Kupp still takes it home because he made a bigger impact, but it's really close.
I think it's close. I think they would have given it to Stafford if he doesn't throw the interception to Bates. That was a poor decision, showed a little deer in the headlights early on, but he did rebound in a big way. When we come back, we'll talk about Broadway Joe Burrow coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping Super Bowl 56 right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. We talked about the L.A. Rams, talked about Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and OBJ. Going to turn our attention to Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. I have to be honest, I've heard a lot of people bash Joe Burrow in terms of, lackluster performance. I mean, he only had 11 incompletions, George, 263 yards and a touchdown. I know that Joe Mixon threw the first touchdown of the game to T. Higgins. But outside of that, Joe Burrow didn't turn the football over, didn't put his team in a position to lose the ball game, had his team across midfield and driving for the potential game-tying field goal. I mean, I don't know what you're looking at, but Joe Burrow stepped up in a big way. Now, granted, he didn't throw for 300 and multiple touchdowns, but at the end of the day, I didn't think he played poorly last night.
I know you're his agent, but it was a blah performance. He didn't play poorly. I think that would be it was a blob, you know, an average performance. It's a mediocre game. He had a mediocre performance. I certainly didn't play well, but he didn't play terrible.
Let me ask you a question.
He was hurt.
When you say didn't play well, what did he do that he didn't play well? He threw for 263.
It was an average performance.
What was Stafford then with two interceptions? That was a marquee
performance. Same thing. I already said both quarterbacks were they were average. There was nobody who truly stood out there. Cup on the last drive, yes. Beckham was certainly on his way before Beckham was going to be the star of that game, it looked like, before he got hurt. And that might be it on the offensive side of the game. The defensive guys really stood out much more than the offensive guys did. It was just the defense were ahead last night. Well, the quarterbacks didn't play as well as they could have. That's really what it comes down to. The quarterbacks didn't play as well as they could have. But I thought, once again, blah for both guys. And blah is not poor, by the way. I would not use the word term poor. I said on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give them both around the 5-6 range. You know, neither one was a star of the game. They weren't. And that's somewhat – I don't think it's surprising for me as Burrow. I thought Burrow was going to have problems coming in because of the Rams' defensive line. Almost everybody thought that. And it really came to fruition there. I also think that, once again, Burrow got hurt. Last goal was it three drives. He was definitely hurt in my mind. I'm curious to see what they're going to announce as far as that. I don't think it's anything – I'm hoping it's not anything serious. But that knee was definitely bent the wrong way. You know, so we'll see there. But he, like I said, he was limping as he came off the field. Could be it's the sprained knee and not a tear, although a sprain is a tear. It's different degrees. But, yeah, to say – you can't say Joe Burrow played well. I mean, that's –
I don't think he played bad, glasses. George. I mean, 20,
again, no
20
one, I'm not saying 22, he played bad.
But wait a second, 22 or 33. I mean, but 22 or 33. One was a drop by Boyd on a critical third down. So basically,
yeah,
10
we could do that about every quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't
he had
about
two passes over. He had two passes over 40 yards in the game. I mean,
once again,
how was
he only scored 20 points?
He was sacked seven times.
But Then we're going to see a quarterback never plays poorly because there's always excuses. In the end, quarterback takes too much grief. I know you love Joe Burrow.
But wait a second. I could see if he played poor, but he didn't play poor. He threw for 260.
I haven't said he played poor.
For a touch. Well, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not using the word poor. I'm not even using the word bad. He had an average game. And that's what he had. It wasn't a good game by any means.
But I don't think it was a bad game. I mean,
you understand I haven't said bad. The only person who said bad here is you. Or good or poor. He had an average game, a so-so game, an okay game. Whatever word you want to use there. Scale of 1 to 10, he was about a 5. Average game?
I don't know. That's 5? That 263, a touchdown, no interceptions, and completing 66% of his passes?
That is pretty much your definition of
average. That's
well, you okay. Do that over a year. That's 16, 17 touchdowns a year. That's not very good. It's an average game.
All right.
That's all it is. Okay. It's an average game.
All right. So if he would have thrown for, I guess, over 300, we would have said he threw for. It's a great game. If he would have thrown for 300 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, that's a great game. Going in his first Super Bowl.
They're also Super Bowl champions.
But at the end of the day, George, he was sacked 7 times, still had his team in a position to potentially win the ball game. I mean, you can't say
that. I don't get why you're defending him so much.
Because I'll tell you why. Not defending him. I'll say this. If Joe Burrow blew the game in any way for Cincinnati, I would have said, yeah, he sucked yesterday. But the guy gets sacked 7 times, doesn't turn the football over once, and still has his team in a position to win the ball game, complete 65-66% of his passes, has two plays that go for over 40 yards, one an 80-yard touchdown. Whether you call it PI or not, it's still a chunk play, and we're bashing the guy saying it's an average performance?
When does average become bashing?
I'll tell you what performance is. Average is 55% completion percentage, 173 yards. That's Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's bad.
Jimmy Garoppolo is average. That's average.
Bad. That's not average.
I mean, come on.
That is not average and by any means.
Ben Roethlisberger, 55%, 132. You know, One touchdown, one interception. That's average. In a Super Bowl, 263 yards with a touchdown and completing close to 67, 70% of your passes is not an average performance.
Well, you're really Kevin Walsh not here with us. That's it's an average.
Well, because that's what it is. We look
everything you're defining wait a second. Average. Buffalo.
Cooper Kupp, 8 for 92 and 2 touchdowns. That's a fabulous performance. I forgot it's the prodigal son. I mean, come on, Matt Stafford with 2 interceptions and 275 or whatever he threw for yesterday. That's a great performance. I mean, the guy making his the second year rookie NFL quarterback that didn't turn the football over once. Was sacked 7 times and stepped up and put his team in a position to win the game. That's an average performance because he lost. No, come on. Are you kidding me? I could see if he threw for a buck 86. He threw for 263.
Joe, a buck 86 is a poor performance. I mean, you're only apples and oranges here. You're not making any sense. Every performance you mentioned here of all the quarterbacks, Garoppolo, Roethlisberger, those are poor performances. Those are bad games. Average is not a bad thing, by the way. You seem to think average is a bad word.
So if Aaron Rodgers throws for 263 and a touchdown with no interceptions and completes 67% of his pass, are we bashing Aaron Rodgers the way we're bashing Joe Burrow?
But that's the thing. Joe, who's bashing Joe Burrow?
Well, people are saying that he didn't step up.
He didn't. They're right, he didn't. But it's an average performance. I mean, it's not a bad performance. He'll get better. And he was under the rest of the entire game. But we can always make excuses for players. We can make that all day long here. You brought the Boyd drop there. Yes, he did drop a pass. It wouldn't have been a first down anyway. It would have been an interesting call on fourth down. But he did drop it. But that's every quarterback's going to drop passes. Every damn one of them. We can go back and look. Oh, if he dropped passes, this guy ran the wrong route. This guy did this. That's just the way it is. We generally don't look at that because that's nitpicking. You're cherry-picking what happened in one play here. How many throws did Burrow that he screwed up? That could have been made. Guy was over, including the one there to Jamar Chase on the 3rd and 13. And if he completes that, hey, once again, different ball game here, but instead he short hopped him. So we can always look at that. But the overall numbers, this is an average game for Joe Burrow. All the other games you put up
we're going to disagree on this because, again, I mean, I look at poor performances.
If you think this is a good game, average... I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Listen, if you would have told me that Joe Burrow is going to go into Super Bowl 56, not complete 67% of his passes, throw for 250 plus and a touchdown and not turn the football over, and they're going to average 5 yards per play, I would have signed up for that in a second. And by the way, he's going to be sacked 7 times, and he's still going to have his team. I mean, come on. I mean, I understand that we're talking, but we're talking about we have given Super Bowl MVPs to marginal performers before. If it was Tom Brady, I'm using apples to apples. Stafford,
who cares?
Who cares
about Super Bowl MVP?
George,
why are we comparing this to an MVP performance of another game?
But if it was any other quarterback, we wouldn't be talking about.
No, it wouldn't. That's so not true. We'd be crushing any quarterback today who threw these numbers. Any quarterback and lost the game. It doesn't even matter what your numbers are. If you lost the game, we're going to crush you. That's just the way it is. I said, I don't know why you feel you need to defend Joe Burrow so much.
It's not defend. It's he didn't do anything.
You're definitely defending him. You are the definition of defending.
But he didn't lose the game yesterday. Joe Burrow,
but
meaning
no one
Cincinnati,
said he did.
But
saying he didn't play well doesn't mean he lost the game. They lost the game probably because of...
How did he not play well? That's my question to you. How did he... Tell me what's playing well. In the complexity of the... And the game flow of that game, a lower scoring game, okay? What did you want Joe Burrow to do? What would have been a good... You asked me about Cooper Kupp last night, you and Kevin. And what did you expect out of Cooper Kupp? Okay, well... He was 8 for 92 and 2 touchdowns. I didn't think he wowed me last night, but he still won MVP. At the end of the day,
that's what's amazing about
you. What would have put a performance on Burrow that you said, you know what, the kid stepped up and played well? Tell me put a number on it.
That's what's amazing about you. You're saying Cooper Kupp's performance didn't wow you. If you extrapolate his numbers, that's 136 catches and 1,600
yards. But, George, we're not talking about extrapolating his numbers.
You're saying with Joe Burrow that his numbers are good there.
Yes, all right, so you are extrapolating. Of his passes. If you're telling me a quarterback completes close to 70% of his passes in the biggest game on the national stage and doesn't turn the football over, that's a good performance.
How many points does that lead to, Joe?
George, they got
20 your percentage of passes. If they're all short passes, don't mean crap.
But he had two chunk plays, an 80-yard touchdown
right.
to T. Higgins,
to
and a 40-yard bomb. What was Stafford's all
display
in the game? A
40-yard bomb led to a field goal, Joe, that he couldn't get them in the end zone. He threw poor passes after that, including one that could have been picked.
Okay.
I mean, sorry, 263 and a touchdown is not a good performance. It's not.
Okay.
It's an average performance.
Okay.
You seem to be very angry at the
way. No, I just don't know what game you were watching. I guess we were wowed by Stafford's performance last night.
But no one's saying Stafford had a good game. We crushed Stafford last night during the game. We crushed Stafford more than we thought crushed Burrow for his performance.
But you're putting words
in people's mouths here. No one said Stafford had a good game last night. Nobody.
I could see. Listen, at the end of the day, if you're asking me who lost the game for Cincinnati, it wasn't Joe Burrow. Even though, yes,
no one
he'll
said
take
that.
The blame. He's the quarterback, and he had his team in a position. I bash Zach Taylor. I bash other players outside of Joe Burrow. They did not lose that game because Joe Burrow could not come through. I'm sorry. And at the 4th-and-1, yeah, he was pressured. He was hurt. But that goes on Zach Taylor's third down call. If he puts the ball in Burrow's hands at that particular time, I guarantee you Burrow does have a first down, and either the game's tied or they're going into overtime. I mean, that's the way they were trending in that type of situation. I mean, it's more Zach Taylor than Joe Burrow. And saying, let me ask you this. If Burrow leads them down and kicks a field goal, and let's say he finishes the game with 280 yards, and they lose 26-23, is that still a bad performance by Joe Burrow? Or
once
mediocre?
Again, you keep trying to put words in my mouth. I've never said he had a bad performance. You're stuck on this. It's not registering in your brain, by the way.
Okay.
I did not say he had a bad performance. You keep using
you
the word bad.
You said he had an average.
Average, right. Joe. Right. Average. Right. Eh is average. Okay is average. Okay. I've said this many, many times now, but you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
You keep sort of saying average with bad.
I told you, average
I can't help you
for
there.
Me is 60% of his passes, a buck 90, you know, like
that's
a
not average,
Winston
Joe.
Type of performance.
That's not average. That's poor.
All right, that's poor.
If you can't throw from over 200
that.
Yards, that's poor.
I will remember that next season. You know, when we praise quarterbacks for their wins and losses. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. First hour, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Up the first hour, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Pro Football Full Circle. Recapping Super Bowl 56. George and I in a big disagreement about the quarterbacks and the performance of Joe Burrow. That's okay. We disagree a lot on the show. I don't know if you listen, but we're basically contrarian to each other. The yin and the yang. Gentleman George Kurtz. And maybe I'm Darth Vader. I'm the dark side here when it comes to, rocking the boat a little bit. I don't care. But, George, at the end of the day, let me ask you this. McVay, okay? Two Super Bowls. Kevin Walsh brought it up in yesterday's segment. One of the most, I'd say, iconic young head coaches in the NFL. He's on a upward trajectory. That's a big word that everybody likes to use around the office here. So he's on an upward trajectory. Do you like Sean McVay? Do you think he's the next Bill Belichick? The next Vince Lombardi? Is this the guy that we have to just like mold out of iron and just say this is the best head coach that the modern day has ever seen? The modern day Nick Saban on the college football level.
I really don't. You know, when I go to a game, I'm like, McVay's on the... With Belichick, you're sort of afraid. You know, he's going to be good. I don't know if I get that about McVay. I don't. You know, I know he's been to a couple of Super Bowls now, 2 and 4 years. They won one. Great. I don't know if I feel like he's the next big thing. I know the NFL does, because let's face it, if Joe Lisi had to sit down with McVay, you're getting a head coaching job. Everybody else does. Right? I mean, so you know, they love him and his innovation, and he is, I like him on his interviews, too. He's good to hear in the press conferences. But I don't know, Joe, if I truly feel he's the next big thing. And I think Kevin was asking, is he on a Hall of Fame pace? Yeah, he is. But I'm the first to tell you that I judge Hall of Fames very harshly. I would take people out before I put him back in. Would I do? I think he's a Hall of Famer right now. No, but if he wins another Super Bowl, yeah, he's going to be in there. But you know, I just don't feel the same thing that I feel about him. Where, you know, as a Bill Belichick or, you know, the old guys, the Landry, Noel, Shula, and all those, I don't have that feeling.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, multiple Super Bowl winners. We'll see what Sean McVay does next season. Coming up next, Mike Carver joins us. Keep it where it is.